celebrating aircraft home building and innovation. This is EAA Radio in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I'm Farid Guillot. The recent rapid depressurization of Southwest Airlines Flight 812 earlier this month reminds us that flight physiology is important. In the case of Southwest Airlines, the onset of hypoxia was quite rapid. For most recreational flyers, hypoxia will creep up much more slowly. I talked with EAA Aeromedical Council member Dr. Greg Pennell about hypoxia and how it typically affects general aviation pilots and what the first few seconds feel like when a rapid decompression occurs.
Well, the first thing that happens is absolute confusion in the cockpit, because in a rapid decompression situation or explosive decompression situation, the first thing happens is you get a very brief fogging of the cockpit with condensation. Then all of a sudden you've got a lot of wind going on, a lot of noise that you didn't have just about a minute ago, and then basically everybody's adrenaline is going to go into high gear. Second thing that's going to happen is all of a sudden you're going to have the confusion of dropping oxygen masks in front of you, and what the heck are these things and what am I supposed to do with them? Didn't bother to listen too much to the safety brief by the flight attendant. The air crew, as soon as they recognize the rapid decompression, will decide to get the aircraft down to 10,000 feet in a hurry, which they did in a period of just about, looks like about 4 minutes, they got it down from that 33,000 feet down to 10,000 feet, and that's a pretty good clip going down. So basically fear goes on, need for oxygen goes on, because at 33,000 foot, the person does not have much time of useful consciousness before they pass out.
And you brought up time of useful consciousness, because at the lower levels, we're not necessarily as worried about that, but up in the flight levels, that's where you have only seconds, or say 10 or 30 seconds of time of useful consciousness. So the flight crews have got it done at oxygen mask pretty quick.
When we factor in, or we talk about time of useful consciousness, you know, at high altitudes, one of the things that people fail to recognize is the fact that, there's reaction time. Nothing happens instantaneously. Air crew's first inclination is going to be to don their quick dons up in the front. And very shortly, they don't know what's happening back. All they know is they've got no cabin pressure where they had cabin pressure before, and the call is going to be to air traffic control to get down fast if they don't advise them as they're going down. The folks in the back, if they don't get those masks on within about 30 seconds at that altitude, they're going to suffer some pretty bad hypoxic symptoms, if not pass out themselves.
So we talked about the rapid and the explosive decompression, but a lot of general aviation pilots, EAA pilots, this type of altitude issue is going to sneak up on them a lot more slowly.
Absolutely does. You know, the FAA has, of course, the recommendation that everyone learns from the time they get their private pilot's license, that you should not be flying over 5,000 feet at nighttime, primarily because of the lowering of the atmosphere and the effect that that little bit of hypoxia can have on your color vision. What doesn't get talked about very often is the fact that although the CFRs allow us to fly to a higher altitude, 12,500, you know, up to 14,000 foot, sometimes without having to have oxygen on unless it's a prolonged flight, the vast majority of us starts getting some hypoxic symptoms, myself included, between 9 to 10,000 feet.
Before we get deeper into that, what is a good definition of hypoxia?
The best definition of hypoxia is basically the body's insufficient supply of oxygen to meet the demands of the body at that given time. There are various different types of hypoxia, but that's a broad definition of the term.
Hypoxia is what happens to us, but what behaviors or situations, especially in the airplane, cause this?
For general aviation, the vast majority of hypoxic symptoms come from one of the four types of hypoxia, and the one that affects us most is what's called hypoxic hypoxia, and that is simply basically deficiency in oxygen for what we need. And, you know, that's the one that occurs as we elevate, as we go up in altitude.
Or what are the other types of hypoxia that can affect us?
Well, there are three different types of hypoxia. The next one that we talk about is what's called hypemic, H-Y-P-E-M-I-C hypoxia. This is a problem when the body can't get the oxygen to the tissues that need it. And this is the type of hypoxia that can come from anemia. Carbon monoxide poisoning falls into this category as well.
I guess the other one is, what about like smoking and some of the other ones that at least in our training before they've talked about?
Well, smoking just makes everything worse. Basically, a smoker is not going to tolerate hypoxia as well as a non-smoker will.
I don't know if this is a myth or not, but isn't consuming alcohol like a form of hypoxia?
It is. Alcohol consumption, which winds up causing a type of hypoxia called histotoxic hypoxia. In other words, for every 1 ounce of pure alcohol that you drink, it's like going up 2,000 foot.
So I guess you could say is that there are many different ways that the body can be prevented from ingesting enough oxygen to allow it to function properly, and we got to think about that when we're going up in the air.
Most textbooks that you will see will recommend going on oxygen if you're going to spend any time above 9 to 10,000 foot. The next type of hypoxia, we talked about it a little bit, it was the histotoxic type hypoxia. Basically, this is a situation where the body's tissues can't use the oxygen that has gotten to them. And this is where things like alcohol consumption, certain narcotic pain medications can lead into this. Another type of hypoxia, and this is one that's been studied in the airline transport community, is a thing called stagnant hypoxia. This is the one that everyone is worried about because we pack people into aircraft like a cattle car, and we have them sit there for long periods of time, and then they wind up getting pooling of blood in the lower extremities, and we worry about this from a hypoxic point of view or worsening hypoxia. We also worry about it from the point of causing blood clots in the lower extremities, which does not to appear have been proven out to be a major risk factor for it. But those are the four different types of hypoxia, and any of those can affect, you know, the general aviation pilot, a long flight, you know, sitting in the seat where you can't get up and go to the bathroom because you're in a single engine aircraft. Stagnant hypoxia can be an issue. Medications that you may have been taking can cause, can cause histotoxic type hypoxia, and then obviously, you know, acute or chronic disease can cause the anemic hypoxia. And then finally, the one that we talked about first, hypoxic type hypoxia, which is the type of hypoxia which occurs just from gaining altitude, we can suffer or be at risk for all of these. There are primarily four different stages of hypoxia, and the first one is the one that we barely even notice. It's called the indifferent stage of hypoxia. This is the one that we get where we get the loss of night vision, loss of color vision above 5,000 foot. This is the stage of hypoxia that we really don't have to worry about too much because we compensate for it very quickly and we barely even notice it. The second one is the true compensatory stage, and this is the one that we run into over 10,000 feet. The body starts to do things to compensate for it. Our heart rate has a tendency to go up. We start breathing a little bit deeper and a little bit faster in an attempt to compensate for it. But we really, really don't get too bothered by this stage. We can usually push through it. In the third stage of hypoxia, as we keep going up, we start getting into the disturbance stage. Now, this is a stage where bad things start to happen. This is where we really get into our hypoxic symptoms, which can be anything from shortness of breath. Some people get headaches. Some people actually will get euphoria. Our judgment can go out. Our vision can diminish. Then finally, the final stage of hypoxia is the critical stage. And this is where we're basically a victim. we aren't able to help ourselves, and frankly, we really don't care at this point. If we go into the stage and we don't get rescued and put into a higher oxygen environment, we likely are going to have a very bad outcome, up to and including death. But this is the final stage in what we call, like I said, what we call the critical stage of hypoxia, where we must be rescued. We don't have the ability to help ourselves.
Greg, thanks very much for joining us.
Not a problem. Pleasure's all mine.
You're listening to EAA Radio.